Good morning and welcome to Listen Local, the bi-weekly webcast from Neighborhood News Source Mission Local. I'm Laura Wannis. Today is Thursday, and in the Mission, that means it's Farmers Market Day. Specifically, the Mission Community Market takes over 22nd Street from Mission to Bartlett, and then Bartlett between 22nd and 21st. And the Community Market started, I believe, in 2010 with a distinct Mission flavor. Here to talk about how the market has grown over the years is Jeremy Shaw, who's the board president for the market. Jeremy, welcome.
Thank you for having us.
I'm so glad you could make it. Also with us is Audrey Roderick, who works for a youth program at the market called Urban Sprouts. Audrey, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
So I think we should start by, Jeremy, maybe you could give us a little bit of a brief history of the market. What was it like when it started? How has it evolved? How many people show up? You know, what's it like?
Sure. Well, first, happy summer.
Happy summer to you, too.
It's a beautiful day for a farmer's market.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it started in 2010, as you said, July. Actually, we're coming up on our seven-year anniversary, mm-hmm. July 22nd. And really, it was a response to a number of people who were living, working in the community, and wanted to see a farmer's market, but wanted to see something special and unique to the Mission. And so there was about 20 or 25 nonprofits, business owners, residents who came together and said, hey, let's do this. Let's get a market, but let's have other businesses from the neighborhood. Let's create events and activities for the people who live here and make it a Mission farmer's market. So it started that summer. Honestly, we didn't know what we were doing. It was just like, hey, let's do it. Throw some farmers out there. And we got really, really lucky. because it's not easy to just quote throw farmers out there. So we found amazing people like Polly Urena and Jimmy and Carol from Central Valley, and had this great core of farmers. And from that, we built a community space. Okay, so around the food, we wanted more. So we had dinner. We had music from the neighborhood. We had lots of kids events and health, healthy food education. And really what we wanted to do is create that physical space that brought all the diverse people together in the mission and see what worked. And so bit by bit, we started with all those activities. We started painting murals. We just got the word out about what we were trying to do and making an accepting and open space for any type of community activity and any type of person or family that lives here. And we built from that until today.
Yeah. So would you say you know what you're doing now? I guess that's a tricky question.
I guess no one can see me looking at Audrey. Yes. I mean, yes and no. It's always a learning process, right? Especially in a sort of dynamic city and changing neighborhood. There's always something new, and we can talk about it later, but things happen in the streets, and you have to adjust and be nimble. So we're always learning, I think.
Mm-hmm. Audrey, why don't you tell us a little bit about Urban Sprouts and sort of what it is? I believe it's not just at the community market. It's sort of in a bunch of different places, but tell us about that.
Sure. So Urban Sprouts is a food and environmental justice organization working primarily in the Southeast and then also within the mission. So we run community gardens. We run parent nutrition classes, cooking classes, really around a cultural connection to food. So really from an anecdotal place. So having people really sit down, be together, talk about food, talk about their connection to food, and what really makes a healthy community. And so we've been around for 12 years and have been partnering now with the market for just about 6. And so the market really allowed us a platform for our students, for our families to really come together as well, be out in the community, and have a wonderful space just to be able to talk and share stories. And our students now, we grow to sell. So our farm at June Jordan School for Equity, we're a California certified producer, which means that our high school students grow to sell. It's an after school job for them. Mm-hmm. We're one of a few actual San Francisco vendors that are growing food here. Most of them are schools now. If Little City Gardens is gone, it's all just school gardens that are certified. There's a couple other high schools like us. So we really are a truly local food source. And a job for our students. So they get to work in the greenhouse, they work in the garden, they bring their...
They get paid? It's a job?
It's a job. They get paid.
Wow.
Yeah. And so they get to bring their harvest to the market and sell. We really focus on things that folks can put in the ground, backyard gardens and containers. We try not to compete with the farmers that are there.
Right.
You know, a high school student selling is a pretty enticing offer. So, you know, we try to make sure that it's a fair a fair situation. We don't want to compete with our local farmers. But yeah, so kale, herbs, you know, lettuce, all that kind of stuff that you can grow at home in really limited space. And our students will bring everything down and they get to staff the booth. They are responsible for the setup, for all of that community customer service, you know, talking to everybody. They handle the cash box. And they get to really, you know, take pride in their school in the work that they've done and show their product to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, I wanted to talk with you guys both a little bit about the impact of buying produce at a market like this one and how that's different from going anywhere else for produce. I mean, in this case, obviously, the folks who are growing it and selling it are really closely connected to the product and to the process of it also. And I think, you know, of course, lots of people don't think about food in a whole lot of depth because we just don't get the opportunity to. But, you know, how does it change people's relationship to food to be involved like this or to just be a customer at something like this?
Yeah. There we
go. You want to start?
Sure. I mean, I think with any of it, with our students especially, we want them to understand the whole process. So what does it really take? What is all of that work? And when we really focus on then what are the working conditions in the farms, you know, what is that whole process? How far is it traveling to get to you? And so a market is a wonderful platform for all of those things to come together. So you really get to see it. You see the farmers or the folks that are working, you know, for these farms. You really get a chance to connect, to understand, to see where they're coming from. And you get to talk about what you're eating and the variety of what you're eating and learning about, you know, that it's not just an apple. There are, you know, hundreds of different varieties of apple. It's not just a lettuce. There are, you know, all these different types of things. And so you begin to understand and have conversation in a really natural way, you know, how there is all that diversity and how all of these comes into play with the food that we eat. And then you really get to see that this is folks' livelihood and you get a better picture of really what's happening. And it's really powerful for our students to be able to understand and for, you know, adults as well to really understand the whole process of that from the seed, you know, to your plate and all of those, the different systems that work with that.
Yeah. And I would say what you don't, you know, no one's saying you have to go to one place to shop, right?
Of course.
But I think what you get with the farmer's market is it really engages all your senses and you, like Audrey was saying, not only do you get to learn about where the food comes from, but you get to taste anything really and just really fully engage with your body or smell the food and talk to the farmer about like what this variety is and find things at peak season. Whereas like in, you know, larger supermarkets, you might have a more standardized variety of fruits that are available year round. Here you get to taste things at their peak. They're just from miles away driven in that morning and you really get to experience like the full freshness and nutritional value is nice as well. And learn. I mean, and just kind of connect with the farmers on a human level, which I think just makes everything taste better.
Yeah. Let's talk about connecting on a human level. I wanted to ask you guys if there's anybody who is at the market regularly, whether customer or worker or staff or volunteer or what have you, who you want to highlight? Are there people there that, you know, as a newcomer, maybe I should look out for or that everybody knows?
Well, first of all, the market would be nowhere without its vendors and its volunteers. And so just a quick plug, if anyone does want to contribute or help out, there is always a need for volunteers. And so you will see them any Thursday that you go.
Okay. And if somebody who's listening wants to volunteer, who do they get in touch with?
Just go to the missioncommunitymarket.org and you can sign up there or email us at mcm@missioncommunitymarket.org.
There's also wonderful little kiosks now when you go to the market that are right at the entrances that always have information as
so
well.
So you could literally go today.
You could go today.
This afternoon, today. Show up and become a volunteer.
In fact, you should go today. Forget the website. Just go.
Just go.
Show up and say hello.
So just to answer your question, yeah, so there's always volunteers. We have a core staff of awesome, awesome people, again, also under those booths. It's a regular thing, right? This is part of the routine for the farmers and for shoppers. So you will end up seeing your neighbors there as well every day or every Thursday that you go. I mean, a couple of people who have been out there since the beginning, I mentioned it before, Jimmy and Carol from Twin Girls Farm helped start the market. So did Polly and Sylvia Urena. And I think one of the nice things that I've experienced just being there in the last 7 years is that you get to be part of the family, right? You get to see their children or their grandchildren grow and watch the story of the farm as you get to enjoy literally the fruits. So I think, you know, Polly and Sylvia have a really unique story. I mean, they come out with their family, their kids and their grandkids are there every Thursday, and really strawberries are kind of what brought them together. So I think it's a really cute story also on our website, but you should go to the farmer's market and just ask them about how they're both come from farming families and, you know, they're writing letters across the border in the 60s and 70s. And Polly Urena was in America through the Bracero program. His father was brought over and working on strawberry fields in West Watsonville. And through a lot of the UFW work that was going on under Cesar Chavez there, like, they became owners of a small farm, and from a 2.5-acre farm, they grew that into Urena's farms and what we see today. They just bought a new patch of land last year. And it's just like, if there were a farmer that, or a picture of someone you wanted to know, I mean, Polly really, really embodied, Polly and Sylvia really embody that. And I think it's just lovely to talk to them every week and try their fruits. Also, I think it's worth mentioning Violeta.
So Violeta Sandoval is a staff member for Urban Sprouts. She is our community health educator extraordinaire. We met her about 6 years ago, and she was in a program with her son. She used to be a chef in El Salvador, and we brought her on as our adult educator. So she teaches all of our community classes. Again, really from an anecdotal point, she talked the other day that I don't think she's ever actually taught a cooking class in a kitchen. It's usually, you know, with a butane stove and a one pot. And so Violet is at the market every week. You find her in the Mission Community Market kiosk. She's there to answer all your questions around EBT and CalFresh, to talk to, you know, all of the moms that come every week to sit and talk with her. She knows all the farmers and can really answer all the questions. But she really is just absolutely incredible and is taken the work to a whole different level of, to really just have people connect to their food, and really uses the market as that platform for those conversations. And people, again, they come to see her and to be able to talk about what's happening. And yeah, I mean, she's just absolutely incredible. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think one thing, just if I can paraphrase what Audrey's told me in the past, is that first of all, Violeta can share in Spanish or English. And I think like the really nice part about working with Urban Sprouts and Violeta is that it takes that food conversation down to a very approachable and accessible level. Like, it doesn't have to be a really challenging, expensive, complicated endeavor to eat healthy. And that's what we really want to do at the market, is just say, hey, there's simple ways and fun ways to eat new foods, try new foods, and prepare them for you and or your family. And I think Violeta does a great job at teaching us that.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's certainly something worth thinking about. Is not San Francisco, especially, I think, is known for being full of foodies who are really into food and its different traditions. But that can be expensive.
Incredibly.
And I think that has sort of also fueled this perception that things like farmers markets and lots of kale or whatever other leafy green is trendy at the moment are pricey and are for people who want to spend the money on that. It sounds like that might not necessarily be the case.
Yeah, I think that's definitely what we really strive for, is that, you know, there is that option and there's all different types of variety of all of those things for folks that would like it. But also, how do we make this accessible and how do we make it relatable for folks? And that's really the goal, that it doesn't have to be this super fancy, you know, situation or setup, but we really want to make it accessible. And so folks come in and that it's not just even about the buying the food, it's about having a community space and having an opportunity to be able to talk about those things. We used to joke about it, that it just seems so basic, but just the idea of having moms come together and talk about the challenges of feeding their family or, you know, what they're cooking, how they're getting their students, you know, they're getting their kids out the door in the morning with breakfast, that those are really powerful things just to be able to sit down and talk about. And so to be able to talk with another mom about issues around that, about how to, you know, take care of the health of their family and really be able to provide for it is a really revolutionary thing. And just being able to have that space and that freedom and to kind of take away some of that pressure that I think we see in a lot of other traditional kind of health programs, where it's basically you're doing it wrong. And you're either overfeeding or underfeeding your children versus like...
Or they need to have something from this food group.
Yes.
Or you need to watch out for diabetes and obesity. And
And really kind of changing that health looks different for all of us. And how do we define that for our family? And a lot of that is based in our cultural roots and what we ate growing up and what our families ate. And so how do you allow that freedom to have those conversations and to have people feel pride and connection in that and to know that, oh, I am doing this right. I know what I need for my body. And that's okay. And it's going to look different, but it's going to work for me. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really the genius of Violeta's approach and how it works is that really is what she does. And just with all of this that's happening out there is changing that dynamic and changing that conversation, that it doesn't have to be just one way. It doesn't have to be this certain thing that's like hip in the moment. These are deeply rooted cultural foods and we have a history of around all of these. And so we need to understand and own that and feel a sense of pride in that versus someone else just telling us, you know, what's to eat in the moment.
This is what's right.
Yes.
Yep.
So yeah, I think that's really the focus of all of that work that's going on out there, that it's just, it really is for everyone, and how to make it as accessible as possible, and feel like it is a place for everyone in the community to be, which is definitely a challenge, I think, in the mission.
Yeah, that's true too. And there's not just, I mean, it's not just a place where you buy food or talk about food. There's a lot of other programming that happens at the market too. Jeremy, you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. How much time you got?
Oh, we've got some time. We've got till 10.
I mean, you know, there's absolutely a ton of programming. And I think from the beginning, the Mission Community Market has made it a very ambitious mission to create a safe, welcoming public space for all people in the mission. And we will do that however we can. And so the farmers market is the core, is the sort of generator, catalyst for helping financially maintain and also just generate interest around the space. But we do so much more, starting with the Market Match program for people who are in the CalFresh program or want to learn more. They can come and talk to Violeta about that. That it's a matching program that helps people. It's an incentive basically to give people match their CalFresh funds and give away to try new foods and make it cheaper and more accessible.
So I want to make sure the word gets out about that loud and clear.
And we'll come back to the rest of it.
Okay. Sorry. Just
no
to
worries.
Cut
yeah.
in real quick. But that means you can get basically groceries for free through this matching program.
Well, I wouldn't go that far, but it is a great incentive. So basically, if people are in the CalFresh program, they have a card.
Yep.
They can take money out of their account, and we will match dollar for dollar up to $15 or $20 if it's your first time.
So you end up getting double of what you came in with.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
So you could call it free.
Not that I want to like oversell it, but I think that's
it's
a fantastic
awesome.
Program. And I think really people should know
absolutely
about that.
Absolutely. Free. It's free for people who qualify for part of the
program. Of course, yes, who are part of CalFresh.
It's a great, great program. And it's seen tremendous success around the country. I mean, it started in Michigan and the New England. It really blew up. And I know the Civic Center Market here has done it to a great, great success. We have been working with the Ecology Center and ByRight, who both helped sponsor this grant and program. And in 2011, we had, you know, pretty modest numbers. In 2012, we started the match program. The amount of EBT purchases went up like over 150%. And ever since then, it's been steadily increasing 30, 40, 50, 60%, depending on how much grant money we have every year. So it's been a great, great success. And we really do want to get the word out that this is there and people should try it.
Mm-hmm. And that's not the only program that is on the site, right?
Funny you should ask. It's not. That is the main way that we try to get people to try new foods, of course. But we work in the market space on Thursday nights. We work with a variety of nonprofits. So if anyone, any group is seeking to reach the community or activate the space in a way through public art or music or kids events, food tours, or any kind of class, we engage directly with all the nonprofits in the neighborhood, and we're really proud of that and try to encourage that as much as we can. So part of that is our music program that we have a couple bands every week, sometimes more, sometimes school groups or youth groups from the neighborhood. And we also have dinner. So it's like, as part of the community space, we want people to feel welcome, even if they're not shopping, right? You can sit and listen to the music. We have three vendors that have come up through the La Cocina program. They're amazing. You should all try every one of them on different nights. It's fine. Plus popcorn. So it's just really meant to be a space where people can find what they want in a very welcoming and easygoing manner. So I'd recommend coming out for dinner or just grabbing a non-alcoholic drink and hanging out. And then finally, I think the Public Space Initiative is something that has been ongoing for a long time. It started with murals, and so it's a sort of entree into how do we show off what is so awesome about the Mission District. And murals were a great way to start. There's so many local artists and local stories to tell. And so what we did with the first, we worked on four murals between 2012 and 2015, and each one tells a little bit of a different story about culture or a history of the Mission or people from the Mission. And that helped, again, tell the story about public space, which eventually led to the La Placita kind of makeover of Bartlett Street.
So we were just chatting about that briefly on Rollover Easy before this. What people have seen up until now largely is construction. So now the final product has been revealed. You have La Placita. It's there. It's got these beautiful new structures. How has that changed the market? What is the sort of new attraction about that?
Well, first of all, I would say the final physical product is there, but really the full benefit has not been realized. I mean, it's not just about the physical space that we've created. It's about who goes there and what we do there. And that is an ongoing conversation and evolution of a community space. And so, to be honest, you alluded to it before, that it's been challenging. There was a really tragic fire on that block. There's been the construction of two buildings, which all just physically affected the market, and which translated into financial and organizational challenges to deal with having a community space in the middle of a construction site or a fire cleanup site. So those are all done, thankfully, and you know we our hearts go out to the people who are still suffering from that fire. But with as far as the market, yes, the physical space is done, and really it's meant to be a canvas or a platform for any kind of community organization. So it's not just about Thursday nights. It's about what kind of schools or fundraisers or community groups can come out on Saturdays or Sundays and host a cultural event or a parade or just sitting there and listening to music. It can be any range or scale or intensity of event, and we just want to make that space available for what the mission community is looking for.
And Audrey, do you have any thoughts about the Placita and sort of how it's changed the atmosphere?
This sounds so silly because it's like such a on like the other end. There's power now. Like that's a really powerful
thing.
To have. I mean, it does seem kind of silly in the grand scheme of like what it means to have a community space, but having access to utilities is really important, and being able to have lights and to be able to plug in and you know have all of that out there. But I think, we've talked a lot about, you know, what the potential for that space could be and the activity and the programming that can happen. I think with all of it, there is something to be said about creating just a nice space and what that means to bring people together and having that as the backdrop is really helpful. It just really does define it so you know where you are and you know what's happening. And so I think now with the construction being done and, you know, the market being back on Bartlett, now it's just kind of the possibilities are endless in terms of what that space could be and then how to gather the resources to kind of make that happen and to be able to really program that out and have a place, you know, in the mission that is truly for the community and to be leveraged, you know, by them.
Right. Okay, so before we close out, you just mentioned having resources, you've mentioned grants. How does this whole thing stay afloat? I mean, it's no small thing to run a market every week.
Yeah. No small thing.
No small thing.
How do you do it?
I don't know. It's
all right.
We started, you know, from our bootstraps, and I think we have fiercely clung to our independence, and really what it takes is a team of amazing people and amazing vendors to keep it going. But financially, it's a real challenge. Farmers markets for the market operator, especially an independent one like this, where it's just one market instead of dozens, are really challenging. They're not money makers. And so that's why we rely on volunteers and grants. And so I mentioned the Buy Right and Ecology Center grant. The city of San Francisco has helped with a lot of the public space grants. We will continue to seek grants and private donations because it's really hard to make that work without the support of the community around us.
Great. Well, I hope you continue to get that support. Jeremy and Audrey, thank you guys so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
We'll be back 2 weeks from today with news and narratives from the neighborhood. If you'd like to get in touch, shoot us an email at info@missionlocal.com. Up next, it's Back to the Music. Keep it right here on BFF.FM. Thanks for listening.